Yes. I don't know. Just watching Craig up here do it, like, I think he almost enjoys it more than the kids. It's kind of funny, you know? But yes, like I said earlier, took a whole team. We thank you very much. We've had a great week of EBS. For the message this morning, kind of want to, you know, just kind of summarize and bring the whole week together. Some of you will be excited because since we have so many kids in here, I only have half the notes I normally do. So some of you will be happy about that. But it's always funny though, when I preach my VBS message, somebody always like, that's just one of the best messages I've heard you ever preach. I'm like, how does I'll like simplify it. And then like, they love it. I don't know. So maybe it's the shortness. I don't know. Maybe it's the simplicity. I don't know. But hopefully you're blessed by this, because the message itself still does come from the Word of God. And that's all that really matters. Father, we come before you and ask that as we read different scriptures from your Word today, and as we preach, that your Word would touch hearts. That's what we're here for. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So the first place we're going to look, we are going to be in various scriptures today, but I just kind of want to walk you through all the Bible verses that the kids learned this week. And first one is Genesis 1:1. All right, we'll just let each of you go ahead and read along with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Good job. All right. So we talked about seven C's this week in the one song. It went through all of them. The first of which is creation. And that's how it all began. If I asked most of you, where did you come from? You'd probably say, your parents, right? That's what most kids would answer. But if we asked Adam and Eve that question, they would have a little bit of a different answer, wouldn't they? Because can you imagine not having parents? Like, if you asked Adam and Eve, where'd you come from? Well, they would just say God, because they didn't have a mom and dad. And it would be kind of weird growing up without a mom and a dad. That would be kind of crazy, I think. And if I asked you the question, where did you come from? And how does that affect you? You would probably even have different answers to that. Like where did you come from and how did that affect you, right? For instance, if your parents lived in Liverpool, you probably lived in Liverpool too, right? If your parents lived in Millerstown, then you probably grew up in Millerstown. If your parents ate pizza every day of the week, you would probably eat pizza every day of the week. If they ate ice cream every night while they're watching TV before they go to bed, you would probably also eat ice cream every night before you go to bed. If they go on vacation to the beach, you'd go on vacation to the beach. If you grew up on a farm, or your parents lived on a farm, you would probably have some farm chores to do, right? So if your parents listened to Christian radio stations, there's a good chance you're going to listen to Christian radio stations because you're in the car with them. So where we come from influences us because we learn from those things that are around us. Even the way we talk. If you're from Australia, you might talk like this, right, mate? Right? If you're from the South, you might have a bit of a drawl. Someone might want to speed up what you're saying, right? If you're from Canada, well, you might see a moose, no doubt about it, eh? Yeah? And if you're a Pennsylvania Dutch, well, then you might throw the horse over the fence some hay now fonst, right? That's, you know, depending where you're from, depending who you are from, influences the way that you live your life. So it makes sense that if God did create us, then that should make a difference in the way that we live our life too. Not how our accent sounds or where we live, but if God made us, then we're only going to live the way we are meant to be if we do it in accordance with His law. And if God is the one that created you and you're created in His image, it teaches us a couple important things. First of all is, you are not a mistake. God created you because He wanted you here. And God wants you to exist. God created you with a purpose, and that purpose will determine how you function as a human. If you live your life the way that you were created to work, things are usually going to turn out pretty good. Not that everything's perfect. But if you're trying to do something that God didn't create you to do, and you're sinning against Him, then that's going to get in the way of you functioning well as a person. It's kind of like this. If you have a hammer, hammers are really good at you know, hitting nails, right? I mean, that's what they're built for. They're good at hitting things, sometimes to build, sometimes to break things. But if I took a hammer and decided, you know what, I'm going to use this hammer and I'm going to clean windows with it. I'm just going to go around the church and clean windows with my hammer. That probably would not turn out very well, especially knowing how graceful I am, right? And so we would be taking something that was never meant to be used in that way, and it would probably cause a lot of problems. And I would probably get fired because we'd be replacing windows in the church all the time. Well, when people live the way that God created them to live, we tend to function better. But when we live in a way that God never created us to live and we sin against Him, then that causes problems and things in our life get broken and messed up. And when God originally made Adam and Eve, the world was perfect. When He created, like it was perfect. He put them in this garden and everything was absolutely perfect and wonderful. But then something terrible happened. And that's what we're going to look at next. Something terrible happened. So first we have creation. And next we're going to see what happens when corruption comes in. So I'm going to jump to Psalm 14:3. And you go ahead and read this with me. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Man. So we as people are not living the way God designed for us to live. And so we're currently living in the time when that messes things up. Corruption came into the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God's law. And there are lots of laws now, but can just think about it. Back in the Garden of Eden, there was just one law. All they had to do was follow one law. And they couldn't even do that, right? So now we have a whole bunch of laws because we have sin in this world. And what all God told us, just you can eat all the other stuff. Just don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now sure, it kind of had a long name for a tree, but at the same time, it was one rule. And then this serpent came along and spoke to Eve, and it teaches us a very important lesson about how the enemy tricks us. Adam and Eve, they knew exactly what the rules were. They knew that they were allowed to eat anything in the garden. And what's funny is they had so many trees and so many vegetables, so many things that they could eat. But they decided they were going to break God's one law. And here's how the enemy tricked them. He didn't just come out and say, oh, eat the fruit you're not allowed to eat. He tricked them by asking them questions and getting them to question God and question if God really meant the things that He said. He said, did God really tell you to not eat of this fruit? Like, did God really tell you? Like, are you sure you understood Him correctly? He planted a question in Eve's mind that caused her to begin to then question God. And you might have done this too. Maybe not with God, but probably at some point, but with rules your parents have. Maybe you thought, did my parents really tell me not to eat that? Well, I really get salmonella if I eat raw cookie dough. I don't know about you. I'm willing to take the risk, though, you know? Did that really not want me to touch that lamp? Eve didn't want the fruit from this tree because she didn't have enough fruit. I mean, she had plenty of other food there. She could have eaten from so many other trees in the garden, but she disobeyed God because she started to question God. And she wasn't supposed to eat this one piece of fruit. She had a whole garden of so many good things. But she chose the one that was wrong. And at that time she ate it, she had this amazing life where the only thing she knew was really good. Like she didn't even know how bad life was going to get when she did this. But God said, do not eat from this tree. And Eve didn't know how bad it would get. But it changed. And not that everything changed right away, but it started to change right away when she did eat from this fruit. See, God's laws are for our own good, and we might not even understand them sometimes. Sometimes I read God's laws, I'm like, what? Why is that a law? I mean, some of them like, do not murder. Like, I get that one. That one's pretty easy, right? But sometimes we read laws and like, oh, it doesn't seem like the biggest deal in the world. But I've learned that if God gives it to us as a law, it's for our own good, and we need to trust Him and follow that law. And just like you follow your parents' laws because you trust them, when they say, don't put your hand on the stove, you understand that they taught me that so that I don't burn my hand, right? It's a good thing. They say, don't play on the street because, well, you might get hit by a car and that would be bad. It's dangerous. They don't make those rules just to be mean and to suck all the fun out of your life, right? They make those laws to protect you. And God is the same way. When He gives us laws, when He gives us rules in our life, He gives them to us to protect us. It's for our own good. And since God created us, He knows how we need what we need even better than we do. And God gave us, just as an example, 10 commandments. Some of them are do not lie, do not steal, do not covet, remember the Lord's day and keep it holy. All these commands help us live a life that's more joyful and much more fulfilling. And just like Adam and Eve sinned against God, and we see in Psalm 14:3, reminds us that we've all sinned and we've all disobeyed God. We disobeyed a God that loves us very much. So much, He loved us so much so that He gave us His Son later. And unfortunately, I have more bad news before we get to the good news. First we have creation, then we have corruption. Next we have a catastrophe and confusion. These two we're going to kind of put together here. But let's go to Genesis 11:9. You read it with me? Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of all the earth. And from there, the Lord is dispersed over the face of all the earth. All right. So before the Tower of Babel, there was this terrible flood that was a catastrophe, okay? And when something really, really bad happens, that's what we call a catastrophe. Remember the money we collected all week for our offerings? We use that to send to people that have catastrophes. All right? That's what it's going to go toward, to help feed them when there's a catastrophe. When something really, really bad happens, it's a catastrophe. And that's what happened when God sent a great flood. People sinned a lot back then. Almost everybody was just going around sinning as much as they possibly wanted and were offending God. And eventually God interfered and said, this has to stop. So He sent this man to build an ark. What was his name?
Noah.
Good job, Noah. Very good. And Noah built an ark. He trusted God, even when it didn't make sense to build an ark. I don't know about you, but if someone said, hey, why don't you build an ark, a giant boat, and we're going to put all the animals in the world on that, you'd probably want to at least make you're sure about this. Like, God, you're sure we're actually going to need this, because we haven't really had that big of a flood, you know? But after they got off the ark, about 100 years later, people were all working together to build this huge tower that we call Babel now. And they were working together, and the sad thing is, if they had worked together in a good way, they might have been able to glorify God, but they were using it for their own purpose, so that they would be famous. They did it out of pride. And so God sent, after the catastrophe, some confusion. And God sent this confusion because people were working together, but not to pursue God, but rather for their own purposes. And the Bible says they wanted to make a name for themselves. It's not bad if people, tell you good job, you did a good job. That's a good thing. But when we start thinking about ourselves all the time and we want to be glorified, that becomes a problem. So we need to remember that the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. And that means that God should be first in everything that we do. And we should want to do what He wants us to do, the way He wants us to do it, when He wants us to do it. So our whole life is meant to submit to what it is that God wants us to do. And the best way to know how to do that is simply by spending time reading your Bible. So we read our Bibles, and I read mine every day. We learn what God wants, but we still have to obey it, right? It's one thing to know when your parents want you to do something, right? If your parents, if I asked you, does your mom want you to jump in mud puddles? And you say no. All right, so you know what they want. But if you go jump in it anyway, then you're not really obeying, right? And so even though you know the right answer, you're still breaking the rules. But if you know that your mom says, no, I do not jump in mud puddles, which is a lot of fun, by the way. Sometimes it's just got to be done, moms, all right? Sometimes you just got to go jump in a mud puddle. But if your mom says, no, now's not a good time, you have your nice Sunday dress on, then it's not a good day. You got to listen and trust, okay? And this week I saw some students that were obeying teachers, and I saw some that were not obeying teachers so much. And sometimes when students disobey their teachers, it caused some confusion because it distracts the other kids. So when one student would disobey, then sometimes other students would start to disobey. But when a student was listening and doing really good, then a lot of times other kids would see them listening and they would start to listen. So you guys have the opportunity to be a good example for other kids around you. And God had told them to spread out on all the earth and multiply. But they didn't. They all came together to build one tower. So again, we just see all this disobedience from these people. And since there was so much catastrophe and so much confusion, God needed a way to restore His relationship with people. So He sent Christ, someone that could reunite us with God. So we started with creation. We saw corruption. We saw a catastrophe and confusion. Now we're going to get to the good news. All right. Now we get to the next C, which is Christ. So let's read John 1:12, or quote it if you know it. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. All right. This is my favorite part about the lesson this morning, okay? Do any of you kids ever disobey your parents? If you do, raise your hand. If just ever, like sometimes even just disobey. Even like one time. I see some parents helping them raise their hand. Very good, very good. All right, now to be fair, all right, that was for the kids. Adults, when you were little, if you disobeyed your parents, would you raise your hand, please? All right, so pretty much everyone in here has raised their hands. Very good. I appreciate your honesty. That's good. So even when your parents were younger, they disobeyed their parents too. And I think that if we're honest, we would all have to raise our hands because, well, sometimes we just want to do what we want to do. But here's the really cool thing. Even when you don't obey your parents, do they still love you? What do you think? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, good. I was hoping I would hear all yeses, but never know when you're asking kids questions, right? Just makes it a little more fun for the rest of us when your kid says no. Your parents might punish you for not obeying them and doing what they ask, but again, that's actually because they love you. They want you to learn to follow the law so you don't get hurt worse in the future. And sometimes the lesson I'm about to teach you is actually harder for adults to learn than kids. If you disobey your parents, you kids told me that you know that your parents will still love you. But sometimes parents have trouble believing that about God. Sometimes adults, once they've broken God's law 100 or 1,000 times, sometimes they think, well, maybe God can't or won't forgive me anymore. But that's not what the Bible says. God still loves us even when we break His law, just like parents still love their kids when their kids break their rules as well. They might get upset, but they still love you. And God might get upset, but He still loves you. Just the way we know that our parents loved us when we messed up. See, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in the city of Rome, and this is what he wrote to them in his letter in Romans 5:8. It says, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I'll bet that some of your parents had to pay for some of the things that you did that were wrong. You know, like, but even if they had to pay money to fix those things, they still loved you. I was visiting a coffee shop this week and there was a plumber in there and the lady asked him, "What's the craziest thing like you've ever had a plumbing problem with?" And the plumber looked there and he said, "Well, actually at one time in a septic system I found a bicycle." I'm like, How do you get a bicycle in a septic? It's not like you can flush it down the toilet, right? You know? So apparently when the top was off of the septic system, someone threw a bicycle in there. I don't know how that happens. But yeah, that would be an odd find for a plumber. And then it reminded me of a story about my life when my great-grandparents, Alma and William Stuck, when they still loved me even when I did something dumb and silly. Now, no one ever actually saw me do this, but they say it was me because apparently I was the only one that played in the toilet at the time. So I don't know. I don't know if it was me, but they tell me it was. But my great-grandma and she had this billiard table, like a pool table, right? And I thought that the ball that was on the pool table, the white one, would fit really well in the toilet. And so I just put it in there. I was a little boy. I probably just wanted to see the splash, you know how that is. And anyway, just a kid. I didn't know what I was doing. And all of a sudden their toilet quit working and it overflowed one day and they couldn't figure out why. And so they had a plumber come in and he couldn't get this toilet unclogged. And so they actually went and dug up the yard where the septic system was and spent all kinds of money trying to figure out what was going on and what the problem was. And then eventually my great grandma just like, I don't know what else to do. So she just reached her hand down in the toilet and pulled out this pool ball. And I've been blamed for it ever since. I don't know. Was it me? No, I wasn't sinning against them, but I cost them a lot, didn't I? They spent thousands of dollars to get this problem fixed, and all it was just a little problem, but cost a lot of money. But I never doubted that my great-grandma still loved me. Because every time I went over, she would make sure I got an ice cream sandwich, even after that time. So to be honest, when we disobey God by breaking laws, it really is kind of like playing in the toilet in some ways. It's not good for us. It's kind of gross. And it can even make people not want to be with us a whole lot because of the way, you know, what we're doing. And that's where Jesus comes in. Even when we are dirty with sin, He loves us enough to come in and clean us up. And the way He did that was by dying on the cross so that He could die for our sins so that we can be clean from all of our sins. But it also means that He had to take all the dirty stuff for us. He gets our dirty stuff and we get His cleanness because He loves us that much. But the only way we can get clean is to admit that we have sinned against Him. We have to admit, God, I sinned against You. I am not perfect. You are holy, and I am not. And we have to believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we have to confess that Jesus is our Lord. Now, we don't talk about Lords a whole lot today, but Lord was someone that, yeah, they did tell you what to do, and that's what most people think of when they think of a Lord. But a Lord also, it was their job to protect their people. And it was a Lord's job to provide for their people and make sure that they had everything that they need. And believing that Jesus rose again and confessing Him as our Lord, that's what we're asking Him to do. We're asking Him, we're telling Him, I'm willing to do whatever it is that You ask me to do. I will obey You, but I'm also going to trust You to protect me, and I'm going to trust You to provide for me. And if we do that, we get to this last C that we're going to talk about today, consummation. It's a big word. Let's talk about, before we review it, let's look at the other ones we did first. We had, and if anybody can say them with me, because I know most of you probably can, we had creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, cross, and consummation. Very good. All right. So the next last one here is consummation. And let's look at Revelation 21:4. Micah, how am I supposed to read that back there? All right, let's read it together. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21:4. Very good. Micah, thank you. That was very helpful. I'm already working, straining here a little bit because this pulpit's lower than my normal one. I should have upped my font just a little bit there. But consummation. This situation means that something, how it turns out in the end. And this is really good news. This week, even through VBS is a great week. We saw some tears, didn't we? We saw some tears. There was some that got a little homesick. You know, wanted to go home and see mom. There's some that fell and got some boo-boos. And I think there's a couple leaders maybe that were crying a little bit too, trying to keep up with everybody. But when we trust Jesus to save us, we get to read how our life comes out in the end. This is how it all ends up if we trust Jesus and follow Him. It says one day in Revelation 24, it says that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Every single one. Like, it's the stuff that you cried about in this world, it's just like going to be gone. It's not going to matter that much anymore. The things that make us sad, the things that make us angry, the things we worry about on this earth, all those things are just going to be taken away. We're not going to have to anyone die anymore. We're not going to be sad. We're not going to have a reason to cry. We're not even going to have any pain anymore. All those things are just going to be gone. Can you imagine not having any pain anymore? You don't have to worry about hitting your thumb with a hammer. You don't have to worry about shutting your hand in a car door. You don't have to worry about stepping on a Lego at night with no shoes on. Like, those things are just kind of gone, you know? See, God allows us to feel pain now so that He can protect us. So we know when something bad is happening to our body and so that we can adjust to that. But there are certain parts of our life on earth that aren't going to ever exist again. And we'll be able to just focus on loving and worshiping God all day long. Can you imagine what a great life will be when nothing bad ever happens again? Nothing is going to make you cry. We don't have to worry about anything anymore. We can live in peace with everyone. We have joy all day long. We'll no longer be able to mess up our lives. Just like before, when corruption came in and messed up so many people's lives with sin, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Life will be restored to the way that God created it. And the next time, Satan's not going to get to come in and mess things up like he did the first time. So I just want you to remember these three letters, ABC. Admit that you have sinned. Even if you don't follow Jesus now, remember these things in the future. If you admit that you have sinned to God, and you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose 3 days later, and you confess Jesus as your Lord, Scripture says that you will be saved. If you would, bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, please. If you're here today and you have followed Jesus and you have asked Him to be your Savior, as a testimony, would you slip your hand up as a testimony? Thank you. If you're here today and say, I've never followed Jesus, I've never asked Him to forgive my sins, but I would like to do that today, would you slip up your hand? Father, we come before You. We thank You so much for this day. We thank You for love. We thank You that Your love doesn't end where our mistakes start. We thank You that You're a much bigger God than that. We thank You that You are love. And we ask that You would continue to guide us, direct us, love us, and help us to be obedient to You. But help us to know that even when we're not obedient, You still love us. Father, help us to know that we have to admit we've sinned against You. We have to confess that we have not truly lived up to what You have called us to live. We have broken Your law, every one of us. And help us to believe that Your Son not only came to this world as a human, not only died on a cross, but He also rose again. And Lord, give us the courage and the strength to confess You as our Lord. Help us to be determined to be obedient to You in whatever it is You call us to do. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.